but please let it end.
This is Tommy Keene, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Tuesday, September 15th, tune in to all sorts of creative community radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. At 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, we'll hear excerpts from the Columbia County Women's Alliance Assembly Candidate Forum from September 14th. It features Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett from the 106th District, as well as candidate Betsy Crott, who's running for Assembly in the 102nd District, and Brittany Vogel, who's running in the 107th District. At noon, we'll hear new music out this year from locals Amy Rigby and Reckless Eric, Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields, Emily Ritz, Joe McPhee, Elvis Perkins, and Wet Tuna, and also from City Torre, Gilberto Gil, Maduro Moctor, MIA, Alan Broffman, Daniel Carter, Endless Boogie, The Sun Watchers, Chris Forsythe, and the Garcia Peoples, Matmos, Yolatenga, and others on the radio WGXC. At 3 p.m., the Framework Show about field recordings returns with sounds from Bill Vine, Julia Bonaga, Elena Korolova, Emmanuel Meville, and Monica Pitch, among others. And at 8 p.m., we'll go live with Johnny Sturman and Carmen Borgia with Ukuleles Unleashed, followed by the Battlefield Earth Show with Dan Seward live from somewhere in Columbia County on your radio dial at 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lennox Local in Lennox, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hello, you're listening to Tech Talk live on WGXC 90.7 FM. Our call-in numbers are 518-697-7400 and 518-622-2598. As I said, you're live on Tech Talk with Ralph and Bill. We are the tech guys. Hello, Mr. Benko. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Collier. You sound very convivial this evening. What have you been drinking?
I have been basically imbibing the nice fall air.
Well, it's nice
and possibly
fall here
a dram
too.
Or two of vermouth.
Okay, well, good. So what is the big news in tech this week other than that TikTok in tech is going to be acquired by Oracle instead of Microsoft? And why? And since I'm not on Tech Talk, what is Tech Talk and why should I care?
Well, I don't know why you should care about Tech Talk other than the fact that you co-host it. But one of the things I want to talk about this week, which we've been talking about, is the new Facebook format. And I know that I've gotten feedback from people, so I want to go over that just a little bit until we get our first caller. The new Facebook format was made necessary because Facebook has added so many new features to the site itself. You've got donating. You have the Facebook, the give thing, you know, where you can send money through Facebook. But basically, the design and the format is actually designed to make life easier. But because it's new and different, people don't necessarily like it. Your wall is sort of in the middle. And off to the right, you have things like your sponsored things, your main pages, friend requests. You've got two different scrolls to use instead of one. I'm talking about on the desktop. So that could be confusing. But one handy feature, if you look to the right, is you have birthdays. You can actually literally go in there. I know, Benko, you stopped having birthdays, I think, sometime.
Before you were born, yes.
Yes. So, all right, so we actually do have our first caller, a woman named Rachel from Phoenix, I believe.
Bring it on. Hello, Rachel from Phoenix.
Oh, hi, guys. And, yeah, I hate that new Facebook format so bad. I keep putting it off and, transferring back. But I realize, I'll get used to it, right? You guys gotten used to it?
Well, I'm still kind of coping with the revelation that the Earth goes around the sun and not the other way around. I'm an old school conservative. So give me 500 years or so, and I'll probably get used to it, too.
Rachel, it says that you're calling from you're calling from Phoenix. So, is it really hot?
You know, I went outside last night and it was only 89. Wow!
Oh my goodness, only 89. You can stay there. You can keep the sun there too. Thank you.
So, what is your question here, Rachel?
Okay. Well, what I've been wondering is, how about this Apple versus PCs and Android, Google. I grew up with mostly PCs and I liked them because I was a tinkerer. And then, what finally happened was I kept running into so many, errors and my computer would shut down. And then, hackers, trying to get into my computer. And I finally gave in 2015, and I went to Mac, and I had never done that before. I went to a Mac laptop, I went to an iPhone, and
good for you. You finally grew up.
Well, wait, I'm not siding with Mac necessarily, and I did that because I needed something stable, and I no longer had time to tinker anyway. So, I did that move, but I've since heard that, PCs now have as good graphics, as Macs do now. So that's kind of moot. And, Windows 10 has its own firewall, which one of my friends is a, IT tech guy, and he says it's pretty good. And plus, they are still half the cost of a Mac, top of the line. So, and my iPhone, well, it's great. I'm realizing some of these Google Androids are no longer the first generation, and they've gotten much better. So how do you guys feel in the whole, Apple versus, Google Android and PCs?
Listen to me, Rachel. Just listen to the voice of reason. Come back. We need you. Come back to PC and Android, and life will get better. And you won't be in this little controlled universe where you have to do everything Apple says. You can only get Apple parts and Apple things. And don't even talk about their genius, the geniuses over there that will overcharge you for every little tiny repair. So come on back, especially now that you're more mature and you've grown up and the sun has obviously not fried your brains yet, because you clearly understand the need to rethink your drink. Come on back to PC. Basically, PC to me gives me more flexibility as the user. Apple is like the website that it's perfect for beginners and noobs and people that don't know what they're doing, whereas PC is for people that kind of, want control over their environment and want to change things if they want to change them. That's how I see it. Now, Ralph, who is clear.
How the heck did we?
How much money does Apple pay you, Ralph?
How the heck did Glenn Beck come and take your place, Collier? It was an amazing paranoid Glenn Beck impersonation, the most amazing Glenn Beck impersonation that I've heard in hours.
How do you know
days.
I'm doing the impersonating?
And I think you might be Glenn himself. Can you weep for us a little bit?
Impersonating Collier.
That would explain a lot.
But do you guys know for sure that Glenn Beck prefers PCs? I didn't know that.
Well, none of us did, but he talked about the conspiracy, and that definitely sounds very Beckian. The point here is, Rachel, if you want cheap and junky, go with PCs. If you are expensive and robust and elegant, you go with Macs. And really, it's that simple. And Collier himself has all but admitted to that, right, Bill?
No.
Well, I do have to say this. Bill brought up a really good point. When my Mac stopped working a few years ago and I couldn't get it to power up, I took it to the Mac store and they told me I'd spilled liquid on it and it would cost $700 or $750 to replace, that part of the keyboard. And I didn't believe them because I had spilled liquid on it. So luckily, I went to, an authorized Apple repair store that wasn't owned by Apple. And those guys were like, no, it's a $14 part and we can just replace it for you for a few dollars. I could actually replace it myself if I had the right tool. So
it sounds like those guys were secretly PC guys who also work on Macs.
They hold themselves out there as a Mac store, a Mac repair store. Right. But wow, they are on it.
Yes, and by the way, I've had the identical. You bring up a really good point here, Rachel from Phoenix. I have had the identical experience here in outside of Washington D.C., where if you go to the Mac store, it's like falling into a Vegas casino and getting your pockets picked. But if you go to an authorized Mac, independent authorized Mac store, those guys are incredible. They're fast, they're good, and they're very inexpensive. I've had that experience in two of the different authorized Mac stores. So if like me, you're frugal and trying to save some money, but you really want the best instead of some
PC.
Kind of atavistic PC.
Get a PC.
Or if you want to be PC like Bill Collier, politically correct, yes, then go with the PC. But if you really want the best, go with an Apple, go with a Mac, but do not do your business any repairs through Mac. Do it through one of their franchised agents. Okay, did we solve all of your problems for you?
No, that was great because you guys are both on other sides, and I needed to hear that.
Okay. And listen to this voice. You know who to listen to.
Glenn Beck. Cool. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank
feel
you,
free
guys.
To call in any week. Yep. Great to hear from you.
Thank
Bye.
You guys. Bye.
Yet another person who doesn't like the new Facebook layout. Banco, answer me this. You're a student of psychology and of the human mind. Do you think there was any way for Facebook to make a radical change like this that everybody liked?
No. And the fact is, everybody is going to get used to it, and then they're never going to even remember the former template. So it was, listen, Facebook spends billions of dollars researching what it is that people like about their website, what they would like more, and what they would like to go away. They don't just make this stuff up. They are obsessed with the user experience. And right from the very top down, Mark Zuckerberg, they are just obsessed with providing the best user experience they can. It has made them very rich, and it has hooked in something like 2 billion people onto their platform.
Well,
so
they're
I would be shocked. Be shocked if people didn't get used to it and decide after a little while, after they got finished with the shock of the new, that they didn't decide that they liked it better.
Yeah, they're obsessed with getting you to be obsessed.
And they're good at it.
Very good. We have Alice from Albany calling in. Welcome aboard, Alice.
Excuse me, Bill. It's Albany. I grew up there, so I am privy to the official pronunciation. It's Albany.
Okay, very
Albany.
Good. Nice
Hello,
to meet
Ralph,
nice
you're
to,
right.
Nice to talk
you're
to Alice.
Right.
Listen, Alice, I would say sorry about pronouncing Albany wrong. But as Ralph will tell you, I'm a PC guy. I have no soul. So, Albany, it is.
No.
You poor thing.
PC guys have a soul.
I have a question for you, but first I wanted to add something to your previous conversation with Rachel from Phoenix. Yes. And that is that Macs are really intuitive. That's the thing I love most about Mac is that doing things is you can do it in a really intuitive way and it works.
I grew up on a PC.
I mean, I learned a PC.
I need a buzzer right now.
Allison, let me let you in on an open secret that only the people of rural Pennsylvania know. Okay. And that is Collier drives a 1960?
It's a 1950 Woody's Jeep.
Which is
named after me, even though it was before I was born, but they psychically knew I was coming.
Yeah, so he is a
I think he
doesn't really have a PC. He's got a TRS 8000 or something like that. So he likes old, obsolete stuff.
And so naturally he's my co-host.
Lean toward a PC rather than I'm old, but I'm not obsolete, Collier.
I see.
How are things in Albany, Alice, from Albany?
Everything is good in Albany. It's getting, the weather is turning. It's starting to feel like fall.
Yeah. I remember falls in Albany. It's just very beautiful. The leaves all turn colors and then they fall off the trees. When I was young there, as Collier cruelly likes to continue to remind me how old I am, back in around 1958, 1959, we actually used to rake up the leaves into the street and then burn them. So back in those days,
people still do that.
They still burn leaves? It was actually prohibited.
They're not supposed to. They're not supposed to.
But
they do.
I used to love the smell of burning leaves.
We should maybe get to the question, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I
remember. Oh, I do have a question.
I got to
the question. How are things in Albany? You mean there's another question?
Yes, maybe.
Okay. So my question is this. How is it that one properly accesses a personal hotspot? And let me clarify that. I have an iPhone and I have a Mac, and sometimes my internet goes out, but my iPhone still has LTE and it offers itself up as a personal hotspot. What does that mean exactly, and how do I do that?
Okay, I will tell you. So first off, you click on it, and it will come up. It will ask you to assign a name to your hotspot, and then you create a password, and that's the all-important thing. Don't create a personal hotspot without a password, or everybody and their brother's monkey will jump on that thing, and you know, Lord knows what kind of data they'll steal from you. So make sure you have a nice password that you can remember that doesn't make any sense. You know, like, let's not use our birthday, or somebody told me, the password 123 was a bad password. Yes, it is a very bad password. So come up with a good password, and you should be fine. But LTE?
Yeah.
Are we not in the, are we not moving into the, let's see, where are we at? We're up to 5 now, so.
What is LTE?
You mean 5G?
Yeah, you're not even at one. I mean, you're not in the G's.
No, sometimes it shifts over to 5G, my iPhone. But I'm talking about when I'm sitting in my living room and my internet goes out, my phone goes to LTE. But it offers itself as a personal hotspot for my computer.
Is that okay to use? Even though I have an Android and a PC, I have the same exact setup, and I often have to use. And I'll tell you, my Wi-Fi name is Spy Van, so everybody loves that. So, So I just hook it up and it runs that
way. You just told me your name, but not your password. Is that right?
Yeah, it just shows your name. So I come up with goofy names like Spy Van or FBI is watching you or some quaint thing like that.
Okay.
I like that.
But that would work. You could actually do that. You could use your phone to connect to the internet.
Now, what you have to be careful about is your data. You have to be careful about your data plan. So that's not the time to stream a movie if you have a data plan. So when I was in Germany, I had to use my cell phone data, and it cost me a little bit of money. Let's just say I went over a couple of days, and it ended up costing me $300 for data for the whole
time. Yeah.
But now in my case, I afford not to do it because I had work with me while I was there. So, but normally, you want to avoid heavy streaming and stuff like that. But as far as checking your email,
but just for like checking your email or doing some job that you're in the middle of.
Yeah. Also, all you have to do is just click it, and it'll coach you through. It'll tell you to pick a name and then pick a. It'll tell you to pick a name and
Bill,
pick a password.
You said something creepy before. Can you just say it?
I've said a lot of creepy things. Which
one? Just now.
What?
So I know. You said something about using
which creepy thing?
Well, Bill was talking about the dangers of using your hotspot.
You know, we need an alarm bell for when I say creepy things. The danger of using your hotspot. If you don't put on it, there's two things. If you don't put a password on it, people can hack into your thing, into your computer, or they can just use your hotspot and run up all your data. The second issue is if you use the hotspot and you're streaming movies and things like that, you can do bad things to your data plan, which will cost you money.
I don't care about that. Let's say I'm on Amtrak going from Washington to New York. Okay, and let's say I decide to use my iPhone's hotspot in order to, because the internet on Amtrak is so terrible. Okay, is somebody going to hack me if I do that?
If you have a password, they won't, no.
Okay.
Because they don't know the password.
Okay, but I'll still be able to get on the internet, but nobody else will be able to get in there. Is that what you're telling me?
That is correct.
Well, I hope so.
Well, that's good to know. That's a really good feature.
You've heard it from me. It is true.
Okay. Well, we've heard it from you, so we've heard it from you. So the only other thing here is actually, I forgot what I was going to say. But thank you, Alice, or Alice from Albany.
Albany.
Yes,
all right. Thank you, Alice from Albany.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
He's a recidivist offender. Bye.
Well, this is what we do. All right. So let's go back to Facebook, Benko. So some of the new things on Facebook. Are you familiar?
No.
I'm going to give you the straight skinny. So it's new and improved, or some people say new.
Right.
So it's a brand new book, brand new look. And it actually, I've been on it for quite a while. I jumped right to it because I'm an early adapter. And I loved it. I thought it was better organized, especially with all the new things that are on Facebook. Now, I manage a lot of pages. So on your left-hand side, you've got like your profile with your name. You got, here I have voting information, pages, friends, Messenger, and then below I have my shortcuts that I set up.
You realize nobody who's not actually looking at what you're looking at can possibly follow you as you.
It will. I'm going to tell them. If you're listening to me, just go to your Facebook page on the desktop and go to left-hand column if you have the new one, which you should already, and if you don't have it, you will. But so the left-hand column is where all of your shortcuts and the stuff that you want. There's another button. Just remember this. It says see more underneath the top section of the right-hand corner or the left-hand corner. And that's where you have things like You can launch videos that are up. You can track your groups. There's the marketplace where I'm always looking for new classic cars.
Or old jalopies like you like to.
I do not have old jalopies. I have a 55 four-door Chevy classic red and white that is awaiting, thanks to this pandemic, new windows that are special manufactured windows.
Oh, there you go with your PC stuff again. If you only had a Mac, you would never have to worry about Windows again.
Okay.
Okay. I've gone to our new Facebook page, which you just set up.
I have set it up. Please, we're going to advertise it beginning next week because it really needs, I just literally set it up. But if you insist on going there early, it is Tech Talk with a K, Tech Talk Show. So it's facebook.com/Tech Talk Show is our primitive, just thrown together today, Facebook page. And I also have a domain that will point to our page on the radio station so that they'll be able to just type the domain and it'll take them right to that page that I also got set up today, which I'm not ready to talk about.
Oh, well, I just outed you, Bill. Now you have to talk about it.
It will be available within a week. I just have to set it up and redirect it.
Bring it on. So going back to Facebook here.
Wonderful Facebook, which we all love and adore.
Well, 40 million Frenchmen cannot be wrong. So for 2 billion Facebook followers are probably onto something.
I didn't know there were 40 million Frenchmen. I thought there were 52 million French people.
Maybe, but this is an old saying back before there were any French women.
I see.
They would just have to invade Belgium or whatever if they wanted to reproduce.
Well, Belgium can handle it. So are you on your Facebook page on the desktop?
I am on the Facebook page, on a Facebook page on the desktop.
Okay, so you're seeing on your left-hand side, do you have the new Facebook page?
How do I know?
It looks cooler than the old one. The old one looks old.
Uh-huh. Well, the one I'm looking at says page, inbox, notifications, insights, publishing tools, and more at the top.
You're on our actual page. I want you to go to your page on Facebook. Oh, jeez.
My own personal page.
Your own personal page.
Okay, there I am. Intro, edit bio, works at the Capitalist League, studied law at Boston University, studied English and religion at Amherst College.
Looks like you got, you're not.
Is that the old one?
Yeah, it looks like, that's the old one, because mine doesn't have that. Mine is better. You should see a thing at the top that says create story. Hold on. I see what you did. Hit the little blue Facebook button.
What?
Hit the little blue Facebook button.
The little F?
Everyone listening, if you understand what it's like to take your grandfather through the nuances of technology, you are experiencing what I'm experiencing right now.
Collier, you can't even spell nuance, but go on.
Are you on Facebook on with the blue button where you can just see your wall and all the different stuff people post?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the left hand side you see your name, you see Voting Information Center, Pages, Friends, Messenger.
I see Newsfeed, a feed, Messenger, Watch, Marketplace. Nothing, no voting information.
Well, I see. So you don't have the new Facebook. So you are not special.
Well, I am special.
Okay, you're special. All right.
I get to keep what I like. You know, if you like your Facebook page, you can keep it. Just work with me here, Collier.
All right. Anyway, so the new Facebook page is basically meant to organize things more easily for you. On your right-hand side, do you see a thing that says, like, friend request?
Friend request. I'm a Republican. I don't have any friends.
I see.
Let's see. Friend request. I see my pages, contacts.
Right.
I see a sponsored ad, free ebook. Yum.
Hold on just a second, Mr. Benko. I'm going to do a shout-out for our number again, 518-697-7400. 518-622-2598. Call in right now with any of your tech questions, or you can listen to us tear apart the new Facebook format. Your
okay.
questions will be more interesting, but everybody cares about the new Facebook format.
Well, apparently so.
Facebook. I think it's not going to be long before people really actually like this. I'm not privy to the testing that they did, but you know, I've been privy in the past, so I know that they do pretty thorough testing. But here's the thing. Here's one of the dangers of the new format that I want to share. Facebook.
Dangers. Danger is my middle name.
Danger, Will Robbins.
There's so many Wills in this.
Hey, we got another call coming in. Bill, can you stop? Can you stop filibustering?
We have a young man named John from New Jersey. I am assuming he's young because everybody.
Because he misspelled John. Right.
Everybody from New Jersey who's older has already, you know, left. So.
Right.
Hello, John.
Hello, Bill, and go Giants.
I apologize for your losing season.
I'd like to ask you guys, I'm trying to start a website. I have a small business out here in New Jersey that does some creative writing projects. And I was wondering what a cookie is. I understand that there's something about clearing cookies out of a browser and people get cookies when they visit sites. And I don't really know what all this is and was hoping that you could help me out.
Bill, isn't Cookie your mistress's name?
Okay, so I will tell you what a cookie is, John, but I will also tell you that within a year, cookies are going to go away for the most part. So a cookie is a tiny piece of code that actually gets dropped into your computer in your browser, just in your browser, and that little piece of code tells the website or the community, you know, the place you went to, that you were there. It also might give them information about you, or it may interact with another website. As an example, if you went to Bill's House of Helmets, which really should be a thing, billshouseofhelmets.com, and you went on Facebook, and I was advertising my helmets on Facebook, my little cookie would tell Facebook, hey, this guy was on billshouseofhelmets.com. Show him more billshouseofhelmets.com stuff. And it would show you that ad. Another purpose of the cookie is it may read that you search for certain things and serve you ads based on that. So let's say you're on Facebook and you're searching for something. The Facebook cookies won't go away. They'll always be there. So if you're on Facebook and you type something, you're searching for something, it'll keep serving you ads related to that thing you were looking for. What's going to happen, John, is that the browsers are changing how they do things so that they're not going to rely on the cookies. So they're actually going to go away as tools, and they're going to use more demographic data based on where you're from and your IP address. But it's going to be a different world that's going to look more like good old-fashioned marketing before we didn't have little robots telling us every little last thing about people.
Does
that clear as mud, John?
Does the cookie slow down my computer performance if I get a lot of the cookies?
Not really. You'd have to... to have that many cookies. You saw a sign that says you've reached the end of the internet. Go beyond. Don't go beyond here. Here be beasties. Have you ever seen that? Because I have. I just want to have you.
That's amazing. I thought the internet was infinite. But you know,
it does have an end. I've been there.
Well, I don't know, Bill. The rumors about you on the internet say that you have counted to infinity twice. And, you know, if you read it on the internet, it must be true.
Must be true. But on a more serious note, John, understand a little bit more about cookies. And basically, they're going to be going away.
Well, I guess I don't have to worry about it too much then. So thank you for your help.
Not for the next year. If you're worried about performance of your computer, no problem. But you can always turn cookies off. But like I said, yeah. The only place is social media sites, and that's just on the site itself. So.
All right. Okay, well, so, thank you guys.
Call-in, thank you so much, John. You're awesome. Enjoy your cookies.
No problem.
I would like some too.
Take care.
Our call-in number is 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. And remember, you are listening to Tech Talk on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Right. And most important of all, you are talking to Ralph and also Bill. So now we're in the second half of our show, and it's time to play Stump the Collier. So those of you who are listening to us way out there in radio land, come up with your hardest question, and we will see if you can play Stump the Collier. I have a taxidermist standing by, and whoever... Well, we can hear you, Tom. Can the world?
You are live on the air, Michael. You are live on the air. We are waiting your question with bated breath.
Michael, we're playing Stump the Collier. We have a taxidermist standing by, and whoever wins Stump the Collier will get a free stuffed collier shipped to the destination of their choice. So bring it on.
Well, that sounds awesome. I look forward to getting that. So my question has to do with new wearable tech, because I know in the past smart glasses haven't really panned out. Google Glass didn't go very far, but I heard Apple's coming out with a super secret Apple glasses that are going to be very advanced wearable glasses that do a lot of the things that your phone do. But my question is, like, what will they do? How is that different than just having a smartphone? What will smart glasses do, especially... I mean, everyone wants to know, it's a billion-dollar question, but what will the Apple smart glasses do? What are some of the projected functions of that?
So one of the key things about Apple glasses that I think is a little different than the Google Glass is it is more designed to actually be sort of like an interface, sort of an augmented reality where you can see things, scroll.
Ooh.
I don't know how in-depth it's going to be because it's not released yet, and I haven't seen. They should send me a beta version to test, and I would be happy to do that, even though it is Apple. So they're projecting that it's going to come sometime next year. But like I said, the key feature that we're looking at is Google Glass seemed to be about you taking pictures, which everybody thought was really creepy. I mean, you know, you go to the bathroom wearing damn things. So who was that, you know, okay, guy, just don't look over here. So I think that was a non-starter. I want to meet the guy that came up with that. Whereas Apple Glass is more oriented toward actually allowing you to interface with sort of a mini computer. So you could go online, you could be sitting at, I don't know how that's going to look. You know, you're sitting on a subway train going into work and you've got your Apple Glass on and you're just staring ahead, scrolling through something, and people are just kind of looking at you like, I think it's going to get harder to find the people that are losing their minds from people that are just looking at the glass. But I think that, yeah, again, is the key feature. I am sure that it's going to be more limited than what you can do on your phone, but, you know, we'll see. Another feature is you may be able to
interact with other people, like on a video thing where you can just talk directly to them. Not sure how they're gonna, how that's gonna work, but that seems to be something that is gonna be included with it. I'm looking at a feature list. It says you can change your background. Yay. That's exciting.
Well, that sounds pretty amazing. Bill, it just one thing. I'm not sure I'm following this because you're so much more teched up. And unfortunately, Michael from Maine.
You can tell Mike is a genius. You failed to stump the caller.
Maybe you can call next week and better luck next time. But Bill, don't you think that this is Apple's first effort to try to dominate augmented reality?
It's not quite, augmented reality, yes, but not virtual reality. It's more augmented. So, for instance, if it has a map feature, you're using your Apple Glass, you could literally like have the thing while you're looking tell you that's the building right there, you big dummy.
Yes,
which I think is kind of handy. It's a little, there just isn't a whole lot of detail out about it yet, and in terms of all of the specs. So, but it's going to be pretty expensive, you can bet.
Of course, because Apple is the best, and therefore you pay a premium price to get the best. But you know, just thank you, Michael from Maine. Do you have any more questions about that, or do you contend that you did in fact stump the collier?
That was pretty cool. I don't have any more questions, but you've given me quite a bit to think about. So I'll be looking forward to those Apple glasses.
I require you, if you get them, to send us a photo. Just go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TechTalk with a K, Tech Talk Show. And then you can send us your picture, preferably on a subway, preferably looking awkward.
Hey, he's not you.
I don't need Apple Glass to look awkward on a subway.
Exactly. Okay. Well, look, thank you, Michael. Let's open up the phone lines so that other of our teaming of the teaming
thank you
can get through.
I'll send my Apple Glass picture to your Apple glasses.
Thank you so much, Michael. You rock.
Thank you, Bill. If you'll read 518-697-7400. Or 518-622-2598. The teeming, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free can reach Bill Collier and Ralph Benko here on Tech Talk on WGXC. Otherwise, I'm just going to be baiting the Collier to talk a little bit more about what's the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality and
reality TV. So there's a really good example. Like, for instance, if you have Apple Glass and it lives up to its acclaim, one of the things you'll be able to do is, let's say you're looking on maps and you want to see some part of the world and you're looking in your glasses and it's showing you like an image, you can not only look at the map where you're at and where you're walking, but you could actually see the street view in Berlin, my favorite city, and walk around Berlin and see landmarks and plan your route and who knows. I mean, I'm seeing a future, and I don't know if they're going to do this, but I'm seeing a future. You go to Berlin with your Apple Glass and you're walking and you see that hotel and you click the hotel and then something opens up and lets you book the hotel. That's augmented reality where it is real. It's just that you're able to actually interface with things in the real world, whereas virtual reality is completely imaginary, and it's a totally, you know, you've got the surround thing, your eyes are blacked out, so you can only see that. And augmented reality, if I've got the glass on, I can see what's really going on. I can, you know, maybe turn one of the lenses off or both off whenever I want. I can see through them and kind of see both at the same time. So that's more augmented as opposed to just completely virtual.
Okay, but could you explain it in a slightly simpler way?
I think I did. It is pretty simple.
Well,
I mean,
there you go.
You can
in the augmented reality, you're in the real world, but you're interacting with it with clues that you can see on your lens, like a heads-up display. If you're familiar with pilots, they have a heads-up display that shows on their cockpit. They could still see through the cockpit, but they can see the heads-up display. It's sort of like that. Not exactly, but sort of.
Okay.
Whereas in a virtual reality, the only thing you can see is that virtual reality. If you walk on the street wearing virtual reality and it's not tied to that actual place, you run into, you know, a lamppost or something. Ralph, you don't need that in order to run into a lamppost.
I run into lampposts with a great aplomb, even without virtual reality. But just since you raised the issue of virtual reality, I heard somewhere, didn't even read it, so I don't know that it's true, that Facebook is actually going to be introducing a very robust virtual reality system. And I can't remember whether it was 2021 or 2023. Now we're playing Stump the Collier. Know anything about this, Bill?
Facebook's virtual reality?
Yeah.
It's coming out?
I heard a rumor.
I mean, you do know that they have Oculus already connected right to Facebook.
Yes. I do know that they bought Oculus Rift. And they actually brought in Palmer Luckey into the inventor of Oculus Rift into their ranks for a while, after making him a very rich man. But then they parted ways for reasons that are widely known. You could Google them, but they refuse to discuss because it's a personnel matter. But yes, they have Oculus Rift. But you know what's taking so long to bring virtual reality out? Everybody was really excited about it. It was on the cover of Wired magazine a few years ago. I tried it out two or three summers ago at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, and it was very cartoonish, but it was also very awesome. And so I've been waiting for virtual reality to arrive in my neighborhood Best Buy, but I've been waiting in vain. Why are you holding back on us,
well,
Collier?
Oculus is available now. You don't have to wait. And I'm just trying to figure out what your objection is. I mean, just go out and get Oculus.
Well, I'm
Ryzen is the interface with Oculus. So you just go to Oculus, go to Horizon, sign up, get your headset, and you will be in. I think the issue with virtual reality is not enough people that you know are on it. If all your friends were on it, that would be a reason to be there. Right. Number two, I think the headsets are kind of still big and clunky.
Yes.
I have a headset from just like a year ago, and it was pretty cool, but it's big. It's, you know, it's heavy on my head. I'm not a fan.
Right.
It wasn't comfortable.
And you are Mr. Helmet. So if you're not a fan,
yeah, if I'm not,
what hope is there for the rest of us? How many old Army helmets do you have again, Bill, besides your jalopies?
I might have 80 helmets. Not a lot.
No, 80 is a pretty good start, though. If World War III breaks out, you're going to be ready for it.
I like to say, people say I have too many helmets, and I always say, how many days of year are they? I don't have a helmet for every day of the year. Not until I have two per day do I really think I've gone overboard.
Yes, and I'm sure your poor wife would totally agree with you. How come you don't get her helmets?
She does have. I have. She has an Army Kevlar helmet in case she needs it. She was in the Army National Guard, though, so that's why she has it.
I thought she was in the Navy.
My wife, she was in the Navy, and then we did the Army National Guard.
Would you make up your mind, please? Next thing you're going to tell me you were in the Air Force.
I was in the Air National. Excuse me. I was in the Civil Air Patrol, which is connected to the Air Force.
Right. So, and now all you need to do now is join the Coast Guard, and you'll have covered the Marines, and then you'll have covered the checkerboard.
I just need to get right on that. I could do that in the virtual reality that you're selling.
Okay. 518-697-7400. 518-622-2598.
We have a few more minutes to be hearing from the yearning, huddled masses yearning to breathe free. What are your tech questions? We've covered virtual reality. We've covered Apple versus PC. Apple wins. We've covered Apple glasses. We've had a bunch of really good questions tonight, but we have room for, I think, about one more.
And it needs to be a good one to stump Ralph.
Well, to stump the Collier. Oh, hey, Farouk has called in. So bring him on. Hello, Farouk. Welcome to Tech Talk.
Gentlemen, good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling back again. We loved your question last week, and I hope we'll love it again this week. Let's play Stump the Collier. Well,
no, I appreciate it. It was so insightful last week, and I thought there was another more common question that I'm coming across, and I wanted to see if I can run it by you gents, and again, as before, you set me straight. So one of the things that I'm coming across is the need to obviously protect our laptop computers. Myself, my fiance, we both have different laptops. We're using different malware. My question is specific to malware. We're getting a lot of, it seems that the moment we signed up, and I signed up for new malware 2 weeks ago when the hack on my phone situation happened, where somebody was able to steal my phone number essentially and report that number to another provider, and then they attempted to steal my password and or change my password. Long story short, I registered for new malware. What was sort of interesting to me, and I do understand how companies advertise using the internet, but I immediately began receiving notices for other malware and advertisements for other malware. So I guess my question is this. I feel fairly protected in the malware that I've obtained and I'm purchased, and I feel like it's giving me the necessary protection. My question is with the advertisements that we're getting. It's been such a inflow of various types of malware. I want to make sure that I guess that we're getting the optimum for our computers. But secondarily, is there a risk? Am I being exposed to some risk when I purchase malware and somehow these advertisers get notification of where I've searched and potentially even what sort of malware I've purchased? Could there be some risk to me that this malware could be compromised because the evildoers out there have knowledge of the type of malware I'm using, and they can look for potential weaknesses in the system and then retarget me for some sort of attack? So is there a risk, and is there a top shelf type of malware that you recommend for our laptops that is the creme de la creme in today's day and age?
Well, let me just say, and then I'll turn over to Bill, because this one is above my pay grade. Typically, you're using the phrase, I think you mean malware protection rather than malware. Bill, you can straighten me out if I'm wrong about this.
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
But,
yeah,
but
that's what it means, malware protection.
Right, because just for our innocent and naive listeners out there, you don't go out and buy malware. You don't want malware.
Right.
Malware means malicious software.
He gets that, Banco.
I'm not telling him. I'm telling all the little Collierettes out there who don't know the distinction here, so that they don't actually go out there and try to buy some malware for themselves. So just clarifying that for our listeners, not for Farouk, who understands the difference. Over to you, Bill. Is he vulnerable?
We'll start with the issue of the ads. I don't know if you heard earlier, we talked about cookies. John from New Jersey asked about cookies.
Yes.
So what's happened is that's cookies that are on your computer that say what you search for. There's no harm from cookies. It's just an advertising tool. The good news is that's going away for the most part. So you won't really have to deal with that kind of thing really happening to you unless you request those kind of ads. And I can't say exactly what the universe is going to look like when the cookies finally disappear and the new advertising protocols are in place. But the bottom line is when you search for malware and you buy it, you're not necessarily going to be served a bunch of malware ads. It is not intelligent, as you can tell, because you already bought your malware. So people are wasting their money buying ads to serve you based on the cookies that they probably get through Google. Google has a thing that I've run ads on Google. So I'll select and say people that search for this, serve them ads. So we're going to have the whole new different way of advertising once we get rid of cookies. So that the bottom line is no, there's no risk because you got that malware protection and there's no malware on your computer and your private information isn't out there. It's just a cookie that lets the other websites know to serve you ads because you searched for that on Google or wherever, whatever site you searched it on it.
Farouk, was that clear to you?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It gives me a bit of confidence. One of the things that triggered my question was a friend of mine who's in real estate was telling me how he uses a company to seek out, for example, people that might be moving into a certain area. And they do that by, purchasing the data that is provided by companies that sort of harvest that the information collected on cookies. But you know, my concern was, can somebody sort of harvest the data by realizing that somebody's going to a certain type of malware protection? You know, does that increase the chance of them finding my information and then targeting me because they know that I have a certain type and they're going to try to, look for any weaknesses in that system? But in general, I do understand that answer and that risk is probably low.
It's low, and also you're talking about Google, and Google actually does a pretty decent job of trying to stop people from doing precisely that kind of thing with their advertising. So if somebody was, conceivably, somebody could buy Google ads to target people that look for malware protection software and hopefully try to serve them some scam, but that really falls back on you as a user being careful about what you click on and how you click on it, making sure that your virus malware protections are up, making sure that your passwords are secure and frequently changed. If you do all of those responsible things, you're not really going to run into that. But within about a year when the cookies sort of disappear, that's going to be a different environment. So you may not, that risk will probably go down even lower. But you really don't have a choice because you need malware protection. So it's not like you had a choice mm-hmm. not to do it. Now,
right.
The other
right.
So the other thing you asked about the highest level, I actually prefer McAfee. People prefer different ones. But if you're really very serious about your protection, then you need to look at enterprise level, which can cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month even. If it depends on what you're doing. I mean, if you're doing really secure things. So I have clients that spend that kind of money. And in that case, it's not like you just buy an off-the-shelf find a provider, and then they kind of create a solution around your needs. But enterprise level is the most secure. But McAfee, I have found to be, doesn't crash my computer or slow it down or anything, and I've never had a problem with it. Now, the guy that used to run McAfee, he's an interesting critter. He was a genius. There's other issues going on. I don't want to say anything bad about the guy, but he's interesting, I'll just say.
Okay. So, Farouk, we have 1 minute left. So this is your chance to talk about how amazing you found Bill Collier to be and how brilliant he is and how you're going to become a regular listener to the show because, you know, you just can't get you enough Collier.
No, this is really helpful because I have just enough knowledge in technology to be dangerous, as they say, and there are some nuances and technical details that it helps a lot to get it from someone like Bill and certainly you, Ralph. So, yeah, this is very helpful, and I think it, the information is helping a lot of people as well. So thank you for doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much, Farouk, and we hope to hear from you again next Monday.
Absolutely.
I think we're out of time here.
Yes.
So thank you.
Yes, great.